Talk and Aliens, the William Clear Podcast.
You know, Charlie, if she's like a broken clock. She's right twice a day, and she's right the other 937,000 times a clock is right per day, or whatever it is.
Not that many times.
Not quite, but something.
Yeah.
We are going to watch on this Pop Talking Aliens, ladies and gentlemen, special video edition. There's four episodes of the Clone Wars to end the season. 9, 10, 11, and 12. We are going to watch 9, and we're going to watch 10. And the next week, we're going to watch 11, and we're going to watch 12, which will be the final episode. So 9 and 10 have already aired. They've been released for streaming on Disney. So if you have not watched them, go watch them and then come back, because we're going to talk all over it. We're not just going to sit here and watch it, because you obviously can't see it. So we're just going to talk. Welcome, Charlie, by the way, to the watch home.
Yeah. Excited.
Charlie, I got a real quick note about the show that I wanted to show you, because it was weird. This book here, Ahsoka, right? This was written in 2016.
Okay.
And this is a canon book.
Yep.
But in this book, it starts, the very beginning is, it says Mandalore burned. And it talks about her fighting Darth Maul. And really? I thought, well, I guess I just forgot about that episode. Apparently. Because, you know, they had been writing Clone Wars already, the season 7, and they didn't finish. That was, I guess, a reference to this.
Or was this a reference to that?
Exactly.
Who wrote that book?
E.K. Johnston from Lucasfilm Publishing. 2016, so it was after the Order 66 of getting rid of all the EU. This book counts. Counts.
Okay. It's real canon.
It is real canon. All right, so for those of you who are going to watch with us, and if you're not, I don't know why you're watching this. You want to queue up, hit your play on the episode Clone Wars Season 7, Episode 9, which is called Old Friends, Not Forgotten. You want to hit play on your Disney and let it go to 3 seconds. When it gets to 3 seconds, as soon as you see that 3, pause it. Then we're all going to start from 3 seconds on. That gives you a little bit of a buffer. Get it to 3 seconds, and we'll play. We'll give you a moment to get to your 3 seconds. Cheers. Bo-Katan, right there?
Yeah.
Voiced by the great Katie Sackhoff.
Pretty cool. Worlds colliding.
Yeah, there's a few Battlestar Galactica people that have popped up on the show from time to time as voices. All right, so if you are at 3 seconds on Clone Wars Episode 9 of Season 7, Old Friends Not Forgotten.
Any intro to this, or are we just ripping the Band-Aid right off and just jumping in?
We're just going to talk. We're going to talk about the episodes.
The season so far or anything? You like it?
Well, okay, let's say this then. The last 19 episodes have been about Ahsoka hanging out with these two girls, making bikes, chasing robots, dropping spice, getting spice, giving it to the Pikes. Not 19 episodes. It's been like 4 episodes of that, though, right?
Yeah.
It's been
it was like 3, but this is where things really start to take off.
I guess the whole point of those episodes was to just show us that Ahsoka had, you know, gotten out of the Jedi Order, and she was discovering what life is like outside of the Jedi Order, and discovering that not everybody likes the Jedi.
Right.
Right? I mean, that was the point of it.
Yeah.
3 episodes of that.
Yeah.
To get that point across. But fine. Fair enough. All Clone Wars seasons kind of tend to be that. The first 3 episodes were the Bad Batch.
Those were great episodes.
Yeah. The clones that were like genetically fucked up.
Yeah.
But they still used them. That was good stuff. And then the Ahsoka hanging out with those girls. Finally, Mandalorians come to get her. They say, we need you. We need your help. And the girls say, we're cool with you being a Jedi. Go do your Jedi stuff.
Right.
But if you ever want to come back and be the cashier for our bike shop, the invitation's open. Anything else?
No. Just these three episodes that we've seen so far are, I don't know, it's not a spoiler alert because people have already watched it, hopefully, but they're fucking amazing. Very excited about the big finish. It makes me sad that it's going to end. I wish they would continue because it's, you know, the Bad Batch stuff, it was fun. It was more like typical Clone Wars. The last three episodes, we kind of talked about it before, a little bit of a downer. It's like a side mission, kind of dragged on too long. And then, man, are they finishing with like a punch, big punch.
And so far, these episodes written by Dave Filoni. I don't think the other ones were. But yeah, let's get into it. There's so much to talk about. These episodes are some of the best Star Wars you're gonna see. So all right, we're at three, and we're gonna go 3, 2, 1, play.
Okay.
Hopefully, I can catch the rhythm. You're the rhythm man. Maybe you should do it. You're a drummer.
3, 2, 1, play.
All right. And here we go with the original.
Green title coming up.
Green title.
Beautiful.
You had me at hello with this. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I can't remember. Did that start with this episode or?
Yeah.
Then you get the red. You got the red, right?
The red Clone Wars is now about to. Now it's gone to black. This is part one.
Friends
Not Forgotten. So hopefully you're with us. Now it's showing the ships. So this, Charlie, is the beginning of Revenge of the Sith happening.
Right. I know. I love how they start getting into the real time of, like, the major main plot points. It's great.
Like, Plo Koon right there, he's on the planet that he's going to get killed. So she. Isla Secura is going to get killed on that planet. So we're right in the thick of it. The bridge planet. I forget what Magito, I think, is the name of this planet. Sure. Felucia is the planet with the it kind of looks like Avatar, where Alistair gets killed. Little Commander Cody action.
Yeah, nice opening scene.
Well, right from the beginning, after the Girls on the Bikes episodes, which were not all bad, but. Once you see this, you know, like, okay, we're getting into it now.
I love this part right here. Boom. Obi-Wan Kenobi with the grand entrance. Gotta love it.
It looks almost like the camera.
Right. You know what? Like, comes in grand and then, like, instantly pushed back and has to take cover.
Right? He looks at all the clones and he's like, there's too many. I can't keep doing that.
Yeah.
I just did right there. Sorry, scratching my armpit.
Well,
you know, Commander Cody, Charlie, comes from like an old sci-fi, shitty, like black and white movie. Those movies that George Lucas used to watch.
Really?
Yeah.
Call it Cody?
That was on, it was Mystery Science Theater had one.
How do you feel
about the lasers just going past
him. He has the force. He knows if one's going to hit him. And this is just sauntering around, kind of walking around.
Do you think he's using the force to make those just go past him?
That, or he knows if they're going to hit him or something.
It's like Apocalypse
Now when what's-his-name is just walking around the battlefield.
Right. Well, he can see things before they happen.
Right. But now he's literally turning his – he's turned his back to them while they're shooting at him.
He's being such an asshole about it.
Yeah, I like more and more how they show the separation in skill set and just – bad athlete between Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin.
Yes.
He's so far beyond any of the other Jedi at this point. Like, who's walking right down the middle, right? Of a battle like that?
He is the greatest Jedi ever. You know? He's created by the Force. And this show shows more than any of the movies how much better he is than anybody.
It really does. Like, you get so much more context. It really does make the movies better when you go back and watch them. Once you get some of the context from this.
Yeah.
especially the obviously the third.
Which the third one you have spoken about many times, how it's you've called it unforgivable or borderline unforgivable that his turn to the dark side is so fast. And then when you watch this show, you get
there's a slower burn.
It's a slower, yeah, very good, slower burn.
And it's not just him. There's other people that are also starting to feel that way, and that the Jedi are out of whack, and
mm-hmm. including the girls from the last few episodes, the bike shop girls.
Oh, I love this. Oh yeah, another Anakin beheading. So good.
He loves the beheadings.
Yeah. Robot or not robot?
Yeah.
Robot or human?
If you have
he will not kill you any other way. You will only
cut your head off. Look at the cinematic quality of this.
This looks
more real than Attack of the Clones.
They clearly invested some money in this final season, right? Looks great.
I don't know what the budget was, but you can tell. You know the shots in Attack of the Clones that we always complain about, Charlie?
Yeah. Like,
those clone troopers right now look better.
Pretty much.
Than those Attack of the Clones troopers.
You like that shot of Obi-Wan Kenobi just looking back, awestruck? He's like, what am I even doing here?
Yes.
Anakin's so proud of himself. Look at him.
Your state of helplessness really sold. I surrendered, Doc. Your state of helplessness. He's so proud of himself.
Well, you certainly get the sense later why he absolutely thinks he's going to beat the shit out of Obi-Wan Kenobi when they have their final battle, right?
Yes, yeah. Oh, I saw Guerrera call out right there.
Nice.
Yeah. Because they trained Saw Gerrera. Always got the ships flying. Dave Filoni knows his George Lucas. I'm sure George Lucas had a hand in writing a lot of these if they were already done.
Or he's running scripts by him.
Oh, you know Dave Filoni has come. Well, we've seen how many times George Lucas comes to the set of The Mandalorian. It's probably getting annoying by now. What a great reveal.
Yeah.
Look at his face. That's good animation.
I'll tell you what, something's going to happen in the final episode that's going to further. Oh, no. Got it. Never mind. I'm not even going to say it. Just in case people haven't seen the third episode.
Oh, yeah. Because the third episode was just yesterday.
But how much do you think it weighs on him like that? The Jedi Order pretty much screwed her over and she left as one of the major components of him like turning his back on the Jedi and
totally another brick in the wall.
Yeah.
Like he's saying it right now, she would have been where she needed to be. And then Obi-Wan just blows him off. When I was watching this with my son, when Obi-Wan said that line, he's like, look at how many times Obi-Wan's just always blowing him off all the time. He's
dismissive.
This whole show.
Yeah.
I mean, they obviously have a lot of their brotherly moments and they care about each other and stuff, but there are a lot of dismissive comments by Obi-Wan.
For sure.
Throughout the entire thing. Oh, by the way, Charlie, that book that I was showing you, Ahsoka, the audio version is narrated by Ashley Eckstein, who plays Ahsoka. So
yeah, nice.
Really well done, yeah.
I might have to audible that.
Audibletrial.com/poptalkingaliens. You can check that book out for free, 6 months.
There you go, buddy.
Ashley Eckstein.
Softball served.
Yep.
Oh, nice.
What a blow off.
Yep.
He's so happy to see her.
Oh. Yeah, she won't even look at him. Like, I get her being mad at the council, but why him? He did try to save her. Like, well, he did save her, right? Like, he's the one who went and was innocent.
Mm-hmm.
But she's still mad at him.
The Pikes. I don't know if this is the first mention of the Pikes on the Clone Wars, but the Pikes are mentioned in the Solo movie many times.
Yeah,
the rival gang.
He's in prison by the Pikes. That three episodes of her in jail.
I know, but were the Pikes ever mentioned on Clone Wars before Solo happened, or are they connecting?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
The Solo, Crimson Dawn, and the Pikes. Crimson Dawn's also in that book, but I think we already knew about Crimson Dawn. Without a complete lockdown, the That's why I Can I ask you a really stupid question, Charlie?
Sure.
The Duchess Satine, Obi-Wan's true love.
Yes.
She is related to Bo-Katan or no?
They're sisters.
They're sisters, right? Okay.
Yeah.
I think he even said that.
She was a Mandalorian pacifist. Like,
right.
How does that work?
It didn't go over well with Death Watch, I'll tell you that.
It did not. Oh, Katie with some good voice acting right here. Yeah.
Katie
Sackler's
awesome.
And she's delivering these lines well.
She did. I think Katie Sackhoff's kind of like a sci-fi nerd. She was on those like trivia shows, the Schmodowns.
See Anakin kind of give him a look when Obi-Wan Kenobi a look when he said that.
Yep. See, this is
as much as he loved, you know, her, the sister, like, doesn't mean it. He's gonna do anything different.
Yeah, that does not register with Anakin. That's a total Jedi thing that Anakin is not into. Like, yeah, I know.
Well, I mean, clearly he's married.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean, that's that whole idea of, you know, aside from that, just the idea that Obi-Wan could. That he knows how much Obi-Wan loved her and that he could just be like, yeah, gotta do what I gotta do, you know, doesn't really matter. This is great. They're all saluting her.
Yeah, you really get the sense that Anakin does really love Ahsoka.
Mm-hmm.
A little surprise party.
I love this. Look at that.
That's great. You know, the other aspect of this is like how connected they are with the clones, especially like, you know, obviously the leaders like, you know, Cody and Rex and stuff. For them to like just go batshit and turn on them after Order 66. It kind of puts a little more emotion behind it because I think in the movies, just the clones are just kind of faceless. Like, you know, there's a main guy with a name every now and then, but you don't really get to know any of them.
Yeah, they do have a few little give and takes, you know, where
a
like,
little, ones, very but little.
Yeah, there's a
this
few.
This show does a great
moments.
Job of showing the connection. So, oh, like, yeah. How big the betrayal actually is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the fact that they would go out of their way to paint all of their helmets, like they really are connected to the Jedi intrinsically. And yeah, in the movies, you get a little idea of that, but it's not, you're not like, I mean, Order 66 is heartbreaking anyway, but it's not to the extent that it is when you watch it.
He's giving her lightsabers back right there, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember her like turning them in. Your gun in your bag. Like, does it work like that way? You just order, like, take it from you when you know, you go rogue and you're on suspension?
Your gun in your badge on my desk by noon. Your lightsaber and your other tiny That's lightsaber right. on my desk by noon. So that's it. No, wait. Doesn't she have the white lightsabers and he gives her the blue ones?
She had the
non-committal. She had white.
She doesn't have them on her right now. Whatever's going on doesn't look like it. Yeah, she must have, right?
And she didn't use them in the Girls That Build Bikes episodes.
Girls Who Build Bikes. Is that the name of that episode?
Yeah. Bikes and Bike Spake Shop is one of them.
Oh, the Chancellor. Like, she's already kind of recognizing that. I love Ahsoka.
It's funny how popular she has become. You know, Charlie, we talk about Star Wars all the time, and like, is it dead, and all this stuff. Look how popular fucking Ahsoka is, and she's never been in a movie.
Is she popular?
Oh, hugely. Yes, absolutely. Hugely.
Well, I mean, she's always been one of my more liked characters, but after the arc of these three, she is damn near my favorite Jedi.
She went from being one of the most hated characters in Star Wars next to Jar Jar Binks to a huge fan favorite. Because remember that movie, the first movie that came out? She was Sky Guy, and like she
Right.
People hated her. But throughout the course of the show,
she's a little bratty and young, but her arc has been very good.
Oh, it's been fantastic.
And over time, I mean, Clone Wars has become her show.
Yep.
Less and less about like the main characters and just kind of more about her.
Especially this season from.
Yep, there they are.
Yeah. You got in your badge.
Yeah.
But these are the blue ones, right?
She's being re-deputized. I don't know that she has the white ones yet. Does she? The white ones were in the future.
Were they? Yeah, I get confused about that.
Weren't they in the future when she's like fighting
in Rebels?
Darth Vader later? Yeah.
So doesn't get them until Rebels. Maybe that might be the case.
Where you're getting confused.
I'm sure I am. I get confused very easily.
Same.
And when she comes back in Rebels, yeah, I think that's when she has white lightsabers.
Is this the last time they ever see each other?
Yep. That's going to be it. A spoiler for the next episode. They don't see each other.
As Anakin anyways, right?
Yep. She definitely sees
him again.
If you haven't seen Rebels, I'm sorry, but spoiler alert, she does see him as Darth Vader. And he recognizes her and says her name, and his mask is half broken.
Apparently they're fighting in between worlds for like infinity, right? You drop in and out of that.
Something like that. That world between worlds thing really confused me at the end of Rebels. I try not to think about it.
Yeah, they're really good at the dramatic goodbye moments for the last time. There's tons of them over the next two episodes.
Yeah, and she has a great line coming up in the episode that we're not going to watch tonight, but we'll watch next time about that. We'll save that. It's heartbreaking what she says.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
And you will too, audience, or you already do if you watch that episode. But you'll watch it with us. Next time.
This douche. It's two references.
I can't believe I forgot the shoes.
Sister, buddy.
I know. That's why I
asked. How much turmoil have we seen in this hall, Bill?
Really? Good call. This hall is just.
It's like, when they challenge the leadership many times. Like, this is where it all goes down.
Always. I love gunships, the way they sound.
Yeah.
You know what's something that's missing from the Disney trilogy, Charlie, and this doesn't, like, not commenting on its content, but Ben Burtt didn't do the sound for those. And
really?
He's so good at doing, that's why there's no, like, memorable, like, even the gunships have an individual sound, you know? In those movies, everything's kind of just generic.
Right. This series of events is fucking awesome.
I'm just flying out of there. Did that guy get shot while he was flying?
We'll say, like, I don't remember Ahsoka being able to do half of what she's able to do in these next few episodes. I do get the sense that they kind of powered her up for the big finish.
Yeah, maybe so.
Got to spend a little more time, like, she goes from, like, a good Jedi to, like, out of control good.
Well, maybe it's also one of those things where now she is, like, there's no Anakin, there's no...
There's no governor on the engine. Like,
there's no governor. She just jumps out. Yeah.
Just jumps out, like,
she's
running spaceship and fucking everybody up. She's so badass.
Because there were times in other Clone Wars where she would want to go do something, whatever, and Anakin would be like, oh, I don't... Let me do it.
God damn, look at this. Like, just the action, the move she has, so well done.
The music is great, too. Kevin Kiner does the score of the show, always has. They should give him a movie. Oh, no. I love this. Yes.
Just freaking running, crashing ship right into the ground. so good.
Oh, look in the flames behind her. It doesn't get any better. This is Star Wars at its best.
They've got to have a live action of her at some point, somehow.
Supposedly Rosario Dawson is going to play her in The Mandalorian.
Heard that. Seems good, but would have to be way in the future because she's getting a little bit older.
Well, it would be a long time in the future because in Rebels, she's grown up.
Yeah.
Rebels is 20 years after this. And The Mandalorian is 30 years after that. So she's going to be like an old ass lady. They should get Dame Judi Dench instead of Rosario Dawson to play
her. They got their helmets painted like Darth Maul.
That's so awesome. Those little Easter egg type of things. And they got, there's like Ahsoka, and they got, there's like Darth Maul.
Pretty cool.
Foreshadowing.
Totally, totally.
And by the way, I am Satine's sister.
Huh? Oh, just to mention it again.
Yeah.
Just in case you're wondering, you can't follow the plot. Oh, I'm ahead of you a little bit. I just heard yours.
Are you?
Yeah.
I think you got ahead of me before, and I sped it up a little bit. Yeah.
I'm hoping that my audio is not picking up, or it's going to be really...
I can't really hear it.
Also, like, what makes her think that she could just roll in on a very badass Sith? I mean, she's still a Padawan.
On Maul?
Yeah, and, like, she's going to bring Maul in? Like, and I think even Obi-Wan Kenobi said it. Well, why don't you guys go get Maul? Like, she's still a Padawan. As far as training levels go.
But at this point, she still thinks that she's still got clone backup, though. So she's not just saying, you guys, fuck off. I'm going to go take care of this myself.
It's very different watching this the second time through. I was very nervous. Like, you start getting very nervous for her because, like, she's seemingly in way over her head.
Yeah. There it goes again, that room. How many times did they paint that with those walls?
Oh yeah, a million times. There's just a guy with a paintbrush and like some stuff, like thing. Some spackle, whatever, just waiting in the corner at all times.
It's just plates of glass stacked up outside, ready to be put back in.
God damn it! I love this. You gotta love the Mandalorian fighting nice.
Dave Filoni, how much does he love Mandalorians, dude?
I don't know, but She knows what. Damn.
Your jet sister.
Jetpack spin kick, dude. Love it.
All right, they just caught up with you.
Did you? You could tell?
Yeah.
Hopefully mine wasn't too loud.
And for those of you who are watching with us, if you still are, they just walked into the tunnel. Now there's a shot of them walking across the tunnel, and a Mandalorian is looking very menacingly and now walking.
Like blindly into a trap. Again, you know, first time I'm watching this, I'm like,
well done. The light, look at the lighting. It's like, I remember when they started the show, George Lucas said that he wanted it to look like cinematic, like, you know, full on the lighting, the aspect ratio, all of that. And it does. It's completely cinematic.
Coming through the smoke like that, yeah. Lots of good detail. Oh, here we go.
She can afford to get a little pissed off, too. She's not a Jedi.
That's right. She can harness whatever she wants. A little dark side action.
Yeah. Call upon a little of that if she wants. Not going to get in trouble.
Yeah, on first view right here when this is happening, you're like, yeah, you're pretty much screwed. How is she going to get out of this, right?
I was hoping for Kenobi. Yeah. The great Sam Witwer on the voice of Darth Maul, Charlie. Let's not do play episode in the next thing because we don't know. People might have got out of sync a little bit. Let's do the three thing again to count off our next episode.
Okay. I'll go to play next episode first. Let's see if I can get it at better three. You're going to see the three and then hit pause, right?
See the three.
I'm already past it. God.
Just start over. I'm getting it set up again.
Damn it. Well, I'm at three at some point.
There's almost nothing to say about that episode. We should just keep going because it's basically just the episode is still going on, right? I mean, it's that much of a cliffhanger.
Yeah. Like. Okay. I think they continue from that very moment.
From that very moment. So let's
parts 1, 2, and 3. Like there's no segue and story and then catching back up. It just kind of plays like those three episodes play like one long episode. I think.
Yeah, it's basically just a 2-hour movie to end the series, which is awesome. All right, are you at 3 seconds?
I'm at 3. I don't know if it's a short 3 or a long 3. So here we go.
Well, wait, hold on. So for those of you who are with us. Queuing up now, episode 10, Phantom Apprentice. And like last time, pause at 3. Pause as soon as you see the 3. Don't anticipate it.
Yeah, don't anticipate the 3. See the 3, hit it, and then you'll get a longer 3.
Exactly.
But I think I got a nice long 3, Bill.
I think so, because you were a little bit, you were a tiny bit, but I don't know, we caught up. All right. I'm going to go. It's 3 seconds.
Right.
You count it off again.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
We're going to go 3, 2, 1, play.
Yep.
3, 2, 1, play. Mine was a very long 3. It went instantly to 4. That's how good I am at this.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason everyone, you know, wants you drumming.
It's always my favorite when I see the ribbon. Huh? Human, yeah. Nah.
And that time, it didn't do the original music. It didn't fly away. It just big Clone Wars and then out.
Yep. Yes. right back
literally
in.
The next shot from the last episode. I think your three was a little ahead of me. It's all right. I'll catch up.
I told you. I had a long, long three. I love how Darth Maul is just like, how important he becomes to the bigger plot.
Well, also, speaking of how much better Ahsoka is now, him hanging out with those witches and all that stuff all the time, like, he is way more badass than he used to be.
Oh, for sure.
He used to be kind of like mostly flair,
right?
But he was, I mean, he was good at what he did, but, like, you know, he was a little bit more show than substance.
Well, not, I don't know, like, he almost took out two of the best Jedi ever. Took out one of them, Qui-Gon. I guess he was the one. Obi-Wan was.
Obi-Wan was still like a Padawan at that point, too.
It was that's true. It was still an all or nothing moment.
No, I mean, you know, no disrespect to his previous fights. I'm just saying he's he's got it all going now.
He's more connected with the Force one way or another, right? He's not just swordsmanship, and before he was more swordsmanship.
Yeah, he was more of just like the muscle back then. Now look at him.
Love it. See, and even this like gives you like that sense of like Darth Maul is way better than her.
Yeah.
Like. Not yet. He's not ready to do this. Easily just pushes her to the side and onto the ground. Kind of overpowers her.
Well, and if you think, Charlie, you were talking on one of our podcasts about the different things that Jedi specialize in.
Right.
You know, some specialize in combat, some specialize in one of the books that even talks about some are like specializing like astronomy and stuff like that. But I mean, they're all Jedi. They can all fight. But like, her abilities are clearly more geared towards the kinds of things she was doing prior to getting in here, like the leap,
like acrobatics, you know, and like being able to kick, jump, splits, roll around,
fight off lasers. Because also, if you think about it, she's been going through the Clone Wars the whole time. The main weapon she's been fought against with is blasters.
Well,
not on a lightsaber combat.
Which is interesting, and it comes up later. Is like, how does Darth Maul beat Qui-Gon? Dirty fighting with the headbutt, like, it's not just swords.
Right.
You know, he'll kick, he'll punch, he'll headbutt. Dirty.
So now,
all that.
Now we are officially in Revenge of the Sith. Like, events from Revenge of the Sith have happened.
Right.
At this point now.
Right. Which, like, if you follow the timelines, was like just a spaceship ride and then landing here and then all those events. And in that time, he went and killed. Beheaded him.
That happened right after the space fight.
Right.
So now it's like.
I love the turn here.
Fuck off. All right, what? Look at her, even with the attitude towards him.
Well, look at like how concerned Obi-Wan is right now about what is he can tell what's almost like what's about to happen. The Senate. Keep saying it that way.
Yeah. He says it just like that in the movie to Anakin. She's so with the exact dialed in with exactly what Anakin thinks.
Yep. Yep.
Gosh, she could have helped him too.
Yep. Huge.
It's so good.
Huge. It's a huge Star Wars moment right there.
It is.
Him and admitting that and saying it.
And telling her to go talk to him.
Because he senses this is not going to go well.
Yeah. Not Padme. You know.
Right.
Not anybody else. Her.
Right. Right. I mean, shit. I mean, you get the sense throughout this whole series, like, was he closer with her than he was with Padme?
Maybe. Oh, yeah. I would, well, in a way. I mean, he hangs out with, he spends most of his time with her during the Clone Wars.
Right.
Although they did show in that one episode earlier in the season that he does like those little hologram, you know, Skypes with her and stuff. So that's cool. But you also, Charlie, remember in Revenge of the Sith, when, which would have happened right, the moment would have happened right before what we just saw. When they're talking and Anakin says, you know, you want me to spy on him? How can you ask me to do this? And Obi-Wan says in a voice very much like that, he goes, Council is asking.
Like, yeah,
he said, right. Make sure to like, it's not, I would not do that. I'm not
right.
Doing that.
There's more moments in the upcoming episodes of the Council's arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
God, they almost make Mace Windu kind of a heel.
He kind of is in a way. I mean, he's a badass, but he, like, I don't know. That's something I've thought about a lot is, like, how Mace Windu.
He was one of the main guys pushing Anakin away all the time and needling him all the time and making him feel belittled all the time. And
dude, from the minute they meet in The Phantom Menace, Anakin.
They don't like each other. They never like each other.
Didn't we always used to say, even back then, Anakin's going to end up killing that guy?
Probably.
That's a great line. I can thrive in the chaos that is to come.
Oh, God. Ahsoka says that later, by the way. Chaos is your specialty.
Yes, like right.
Mm-hmm. Well, we shouldn't be skipping ahead.
Well.
Tight writing, though.
Very tight. Dave Filoni is very, very big on the, making sure everything connects.
When you think about where this series started, you know, first few episodes, very kiddish. It's kind of hard to get into the rhythm of it.
Mm-hmm.
His growth over time, much like Ahsoka's,
right.
Is awe-inspiring. Because he's become absolutely fantastic.
Well, just think of it, days and days and days in writing rooms with George Lucas.
But first it was like, I'm still a little bit ahead of you. First, it was kind of kiddish, and you're like, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this. And then at one point, you're like, is this okay for kids? This is dark.
It's almost like the red Clone Wars is a warning. The yellow ones are fine, and the red ones.
Right.
Maybe put the kids to bed on this one.
Darth Maul's showing up. Is it always Darth Maul when it's red, or is there other times that it's red? Only Darth Maul.
It might be, now that I think about it. You might be right. Yeah, I think you're right.
Always.
No, but he does get it out at least this time.
It should have been a Kamino dart.
Yep.
You know the name.
How many times has the word Skywalker been uttered as someone dies?
The last word to leave their lips?
Yeah.
I mean, as much as they're dicks, I kind of like these red guys.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
No, this is awesome.
I love this with she's quite the badass herself.
Like a scene, like Star Wars version of Die Hard in an elevator shop.
Right, totally is. Totally is.
This is great. Yeah.
You think about what we've seen in Mandalorian, the Mandalorian and all these Clone Wars about how, you know, how good they are with their jetpacks. Fett's jetpack sucked. He really like did not know what he was doing when he made
it. Well, it killed him.
Yeah, it was garbage.
Again, I mean, he was the only one around at that point, right? Like
Yeah, he didn't. That looks like Sabine. I almost thought maybe she was related to Sabine. Of Rebels. Oh, by the way, I want to go back to what Darth Maul was doing. He was doing the Kylo Ren mind trick. When he got the information out of him, he was doing the pull it out of your brain.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Thing. In that last scene?
Yeah. So prior to that, The Force Awakens was the first time we ever saw that power. But in this one...
No, he's all about like reading the Force in real time and like analyzing people's motives. And he's definitely becoming a badass.
Yeah, back in The Phantom Menace, he was like, Tatooine is sparsely populated. Yes, of course it is. That's why. Thank you. Obvious.
I mean,
I'm going to give him the rallying speech to the Mandalorians.
This guy could have replaced the Emperor.
Yeah, but remember.
Got all the makings, right?
Remember in season 6, the Emperor kicked his ass.
Yes. But he wasn't ready yet.
True. But we see what happens to him in Rebels.
Yeah.
He's a certain type of badass, and he is most certainly a badass, and he's gotten much, much better, but he still has like holes in his game, you know what I mean?
Sure.
God, look at everything Mandalore's been through.
Right.
They go through this. They went through the shit in the other season and in the Mandalorian. They talk about how they just wiped them out.
Well, at some point, right, there's almost none left. So it doesn't get any better for them.
No, after. It's only going to get way worse. Think about what the Empire did to that room, too. After they finally rebuilt it again. Like, here comes Stormtroopers.
Oh, I love
it. Got his leg up. He's an asshole.
That's not gonna work. Look at that. You don't see a lot of that.
No, you don't see him bending like that. No disrespect to Darth Maul. I think at this moment that we are watching, this is the height of him, of his.
That might be correct. It's possible Ahsoka is about to prove that.
Right.
I love this shit right here. This is where it really starts taking off.
You didn't tell him anything, buddy. He raped it out of your mind. It's okay. Nothing to be ashamed about. Look at that shot.
That's such a good shot.
One of you might want to deal with that.
And then you're thinking, like, how the fuck is she going to get out of this? Like, there's no way. She looks fucking pissed, though.
You know, Maul also has his, like his sense of dark comedy and timing is down right now too.
Yeah,
he's just got everything going. Everything.
He does. Even like the heavy breathing of a bad guy.
Right.
Nice.
The hypocrisy.
Totally. Which is absolutely true.
Yep.
He's not wrong. He's not twisting anything.
As Sith Lords usually don't. They usually tell you enough of the truth that you can't face it. It makes you doubt yourself.
Right.
It's like when Dooku tells Obi-Wan the entire fucking story. Every word of it is true. Plus, he's figuring everything out.
Yes.
Darth Maul, Charlie, voiced by
the not Sam wrong Edward. Again, though. Like,
no.
He's like the one person that actually knows exactly what's going on.
Yep.
Other than the Emperor himself.
It's different. Great writing. It's great Star Wars dialogue. So good.
Also, like, how different would the galaxy be if she joined him? Maybe they really could have overthrown him.
If they had maybe convinced a couple of Jedi.
Look at that!
Look at that!
I love that shit. No, neither one of them flinches. So good.
It's an insult to call this a cartoon. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. What? Just because of the way it looks, like say, oh, it's a cartoon. Not really. I don't know what this is, but it's art. He knows that.
He knows all of it.
He's been putting the pieces together for a while.
But his answer to do that is to kill Anakin, and he should know better that she's not going to fucking go along with that. That was his first mistake.
Yep.
He could have turned her in a different way, like to save him, and we'll kill the Emperor together, and then he could take over as a Sith. Instead, it's to kill Anakin. Bad call.
Yeah. She says it's flawed and correct. You're right. It is scary for her right now. She's backing off. Yeah,
you're expecting her
to
get her ass kicked.
Charlie, you're so good with the lightsaber fighting stuff. You gotta touch on some of that as we go. How good Dave Filoni is about orchestrating exactly why people do what they do when they're fighting.
And that's ripped off from, like, Freddie Prinze Jr., but, like, it's clear. Like, there you go. So, like, the first shot, he uses dirty fighting. She's still doing, like, the Jedi stuff, right?
Yeah.
But then kicks, right? She hadn't kicked or done anything like that until then, so she's, like, adapting to him. And was seemingly nervous, and then, like, obviously, figured something out.
Yeah. A little tell. He gave her a little tell.
Something, like, she, or just, like, look at that. Fucking. It's one of my favorite lightsaber battles of any Star Wars movie.
It is. It's fucking one of the great fights.
Oh, it's so good. And then, oh.
That is flips so badass.
Out the window.
What is that right there? What was that little moment she had?
Like, how many of the other Jedi like ever do that kind of stuff? Like, where they'll kick like that in the middle of a fight?
Oh, I think Obi-Wan did in Phantom Menace. But what was that, what was that little moment she had, Charlie, after she threw him out the window? And was she just like taking a breath and like taking it all in what he's been saying, or just,
yeah, I mean,
some significance, I feel like, to that.
Clearly something happened there where she's not afraid anymore. And if she was a little bit timid before,
maybe she was just thinking about her own aggression.
Maybe. I don't know. She. So good. Slightly ahead of you. Now she's the aggressor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she is.
Clearly not afraid.
No, we're right on. We're right in sync.
So good. She does the punch and a kick, like right out of like, right out of his book. The dirty boxing, dirty fighting. Then gets too aggressive and is like jumping into him too much, and then boom, loses, right?
Yeah, she got a little too overconfident.
Gets like a little bit over aggressive. Doesn't work for her anymore. Then finds the opening. So good.
It's great music too. It's awesome. Everything going for it right now.
And then, damn, down to no lightsabers.
There's almost nothing I can say about this because it's just so good. I can't really offer any insight as to anything other than it's so fucking awesome.
Yeah. Such a great lightsaber duel. Really one of the best. To where she has no lightsabers left. And then still never.
She has the guts to say that.
Oh, God.
That is the great move. Oh, my God. It's so great.
Suck is great. She's so good. She's a Padawan.
Not anymore, man.
No, clearly not.
You know what I'm saying? Like, she just took her trials right there.
Clearly not.
He said she needed one final lesson, and it was true, and that was it.
Totally.
He passed with flying colors.
Well, that made me start looking at, yeah. Great episodes. And somehow the next two episodes get better.
Yeah.
Or the next episode gets better. Who knows what the last one is? Turn this off.
The last one, I can't even. I mean, if you watch the show, then that's episode 11 is already out. And episode 12, the final episode of the show, will be out the following Friday. Charlie and I will watch both of them again. Give you our thoughts, and we'll be in awe of what we see.
Of all people, Bill, Freddie Prinze Jr. changed the way I look at every lightsaber duel.
It was actually Sam Witwer.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, because he did one too, I thought, where he's talking about that kind of stuff.
It might have been both of them, because they're buddies, and they were both on. Witwer does Darth Maul's voice, and Freddie Prinze did Kanan. And they do like trivia contests and stuff together, so they might have both.
I've heard the one of the breakdown where Obi-Wan Kenobi beats Darth Maul. That was
Sam Witwer.
Yeah. One. But there was another one that Freddie Prinze Jr. did. Anyways, just how Obi-Wan Kenobi's fighting is completely not about himself. It's about adapting to the enemy.
That was, I think that was Freddie Prinze, yeah.
Zero rage. There's zero aggression in it. It is just countering and defense and waiting for them to make a mistake. And then you have someone like Anakin, who is just, he's a better swordsman than everybody else because he's more gifted. And it's all about him. It's all aggression. Ahsoka Tano seems like she's just right in the middle of the two.
Yeah.
Where in that last fight sequence, like, kind of fighting with lightsabers, and she's keeping up with him but not over aggressing, and as she's kind of gaining momentum starts getting more aggressive, and that's when she gets fucked up and she's hanging off the thing, and then she does it again and loses, you know, her lightsabers. It's just, it's great. And then just completely being on the defensive and just waiting to counter him and only watching him and just only playing against him because she has no more lightsabers and has no other choice, and then finally beats him. It is pretty cool. Just to see that, like, play out, you know, in a cartoon lightsaber duel. But you can kind of start seeing those type of things, and you're, yeah, like, aware of it. Like, they are clearly putting that kind of detail into it. And it really had never occurred to me until I heard both of them talk about that.
Well, and that's the thing, is that both of those guys – Filoni did Rebels and obviously did Clone Wars, and those guys were in, you know, in these shows a lot. So they hang out with Filoni and they know that he's doing all that stuff. And so it's not something that, like, I didn't notice it until I saw them talk about it. But then when you hear that and you realize that, like, it's not like, oh, let's just make her do this badass move. Oh, she would jump off the thing and then Darth Maul will do this. It's like, there's a reason. There's a reason for everyone's, like, why she's doing this, why he's doing that, her fighting style.
Well, they even have names for the different fighting styles that they have.
Do, like, yeah, the forms.
They stay true to them.
Right, right. And if you think about this too, like, there's a book, Master and Apprentice, which I recommend everyone read, or on Audible, because it's greatly read. It's a newer Star Wars book. It's within, like, the last year and a half, where it's all about Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan prior to the Phantom Menace. And Obi-Wan, then, like, Qui-Gon is not a combat Jedi. He's about the Force. He's about the living Force. He's about prophecies. Like, he's obsessed with prophecies. He's obsessed with holocrons. It's all what he's about. And Obi-Wan in the book, like, they don't really get along in the book. And Qui-Gon's trying to decide whether he even is the right mentor for Obi-Wan. And Obi-Wan's complaining in the book about, why have you not taught me, like, upper echelon advanced fighting techniques? And Qui-Gon's answer is, like, I want you to be so versed in the basics, like, more than anyone, to where it's just muscle memory. Like, there's no, like, you're going to think about, oh, should I do a flip here? Should I do this there? It's just, you're all just steady, exactly what you were talking about. Adapt, you know, find the weakness, counterattack, that kind of thing, rather than just being all balls out lightsaber fighting. And I think Obi-Wan becomes a little bit more of that because Qui-Gon dies and he doesn't finish his training with Obi-Wan or with, right, Qui-Gon. So he can tilt his style a little bit more, so he's a better, because I don't, Qui-Gon Jinn, not such a great
lightsaber. Clearly not.
You know.
Well, no, he lost to someone who's been beat by two Jedis and then was beat a third time by Obi-Wan, right?
Right. How many times has Ahsoka, how many times has Darth Maul been beat? He was killed by, cut in half by Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
And then doesn't Obi-Wan beat him again? I know they fight in the series again. At some point during the series, like season 4 or 5, they fight.
Well, he's way, way stronger at that point. When he's with his brother and stuff.
Doesn't Darth Maul beat Obi-Wan in that one?
I don't remember at this point.
I mean, obviously not to the death, but then, so Ahsoka just beat him. And then, you know, if you've seen Rebels, if you haven't, spoiler alert, Obi-Wan beats him lickety-lack.
I think he didn't learn that upper echelon stuff, right, that saved his life countless times. He beat Anakin because, again, we'll just wait for his level of arrogance to peak, for him to make a mistake, and, like, I mean, that's how Obi-Wan Kenobi always seems to win.
Well, and one of the great things that plays into that whole battle on Mustafar with him and Anakin, is that he's taught Anakin so much that one of my favorite moments, for as many mistakes as Revenge of the Sith makes, one of my favorite moments is when they are fighting and they both do the hand thing together. They both do the lightsaber, like,
right, twirl, right. And then they're like, and then they do the hands.
Everything, like, they're both
perfectly choreographed.
Yeah, it's like, I taught you everything you know. I'm going to use everything you know. And that's like, they're perfectly in sync with what the other one is doing. They both grab their lightsabers at the same time. So, you know, as much as Anakin is obviously way better, he's still employing techniques that Obi-Wan taught him.
Right, until he gets more and more angry and sure of himself, and then he's going out on his own. And then for the whole second half of that fight, Obi-Wan Kenobi's on his heels the whole time.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
He's being pursued the whole time and fighting backwards and walking backwards and just defending for his life. There's never a second where Anakin seems like he's in any, you know, jeopardy or danger.
No, he's not. If it wasn't for him popping on that little floating box and then getting the high ground,
but
he loses.
That's all he's looking to do, right? He's looking for one moment for someone to make a mistake, overcommit, and then that's how he wins. Yep. It has nothing to do with his own style. It has nothing to do with his own form or ambition or anything. Where with Anakin, it's, especially as he gets, you know, as he's turning, it gets more and more that.
Right. But Ahsoka has way more Anakin in her, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but yes, but then she's kind of losing it, right? Like it's doing her well, just like it was with Anakin, where at some point, you know, Darth Maul's on his heels and she's jumping around and kicking him. She monkey flips him out the window and all that kind of stuff. So she's pursuing him, but you can see through the fight, she gets more and more aggressive to where like she overcommits twice and she almost dies twice. And then she has no lightsabers and it's just, all right, I'm going to wait for him to do something and I'm going to counter it and that's it.
Right.
And that's when she wins. So as much as there's Anakin in her, obviously she's still on the right side of the Force. She's fighting for defense versus, you know, vengeance and trying to kill someone.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting. The next episode's playing. I have to turn it off because...
Oh, yeah. You can't start watching that yet.
It's distracting.
We'll watch the last two together. Because there is a little bit of a stop in this one. We had to watch the last two together because it's essentially just this 1 hour.
It's hard to do a watch along with these because there's so many little subtleties. The first time watching it through, like, there's so much tension that they create so well that, like, once you know what's going to happen, it's very different. But, like, the first time I had watched these, I was, like, you know, clapping in the room by myself.
Oh, yeah.
With my son and, like, fuck yeah, you know, and doing that.
I had quite a few of those.
And many times, like, I can't believe, like, this is, you know, the Clone Wars that's delivering this at this level. And many times I'm like, fuck, is Ahsoka Tano, like, one of my favorite Jedis? If not, like, top tier, like, top three?
She is
that possible?
Dude, she is an incredibly popular character now. Incredibly
popular. She's so badass.
As a matter of fact, our friend of the show, Bob Murray, told me that this was one of the highest rated shows that IMDb has ever had.
No, I don't know about this.
Yeah, it's...
You mean these episodes or just this show as a whole?
Like this episode.
Really?
It was something like...
Which is this episode? Which episode are you talking about?
The last one. The one that was on... Sorry, not the one that we just watched, but The one
that we're going to watch next with the finale?
Yes.
Yeah, that's... So far, the three-part series, for me, holds up against any Star Wars movie.
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah, yeah. No, there's nothing... It's as good as Star Wars gets. It really is. It's as good as Star Wars gets to me.
Yeah, especially when you cap it off with, like, the next episode. So this is still all leading up to events that... are mind-blowing and all kinds of shit hits the fan. But these two were amazing. And I hadn't seen the third episode yet. And I'm like, all right, how are they going to top this? Are they just going to kind of back down and find a way to just kind of play out the ending, find out, you know, where she's going to end up so that, you know, they can bring her back later or whatever. And no way. Like, they're still pushing the action, still pushing, like, a lot of events. Great. It's just surprising that these last two episodes are just total lead-up episodes. Once you see in the third.
Yeah. I can't imagine. See, because you know what else? It's so ambitious and it's so good. I thought, okay, I thought at the beginning of, or at the end of part one, I think, that, oh, this, okay, the movie's going to end right when Revenge of the Sith starts. Oh.
Right.
They show you things that are going on alongside, like, you could cut some, and somebody, I'm sure somebody will cut them together. Right.
The first time that they started doing it, I'm like, oh my God. Right. Like, that was like the first, oh my God moment where you say it out loud.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet you somebody cuts these together. But so, it's so ambitious that it goes into Revenge of the Sith. And then I thought, okay, it's going to end with Order 66 and you see Ahsoka getting out of it.
No. Yep.
No. Spoiler alert for the next episode. Sorry. Be quiet for just a second. Stop listening for just a second. Order 66 happens in the next episode. So they're going to go even further than that.
I know.
They might go all the way to him being Darth Vader or something. I mean, it's incredible.
But here's the thing, Bill. Like, if they can do that, are they pulling the plug too soon? Or maybe they still call it Clone Wars and Clone Wars is over, but maybe she's so popular they'll start following her. Because she's doing something during all this time, because she shows up as,
she shows up in Rebels.
Older person later in Rebels. And I don't know what the gap of years is there.
It's a solid 20
but enough
years.
That, it's 20. Yeah. So enough to have a whole bunch of great shit happen. Then they could just follow her the whole time.
Yeah, I would not put an Ahsoka series far off the drawing board of what Disney's got thinking about right now.
Right.
I'm sure that's probably, like,
right. I mean, considering no one can make live action movies right now, like, start drawing. You're start designing, right? Like,
yeah. Dave, get a pencil and paper out, dude. We're going to do the assembly.
Yeah.
And you know Dave Filoni would do that in a second. He fucking loves Ahsoka. Like, that's his character. That's his.
We don't know what's going to happen in the last episode, so maybe there's just, like, some perfect ending, and he wants her to ride off into the sunset the right way, and she comes back when she comes back. So who knows?
Yeah, but, I mean, why would you not take the opportunity? I mean, well, we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen to her. Maybe she goes into that world between worlds thing from Rebels, which I don't understand, but... the idea of
she's fighting Darth Vader on an endless loop.
I guess, right?
But the doors close. God, that was a great scene. The doors close and they escape, and you just see her fighting Darth Vader, and then somehow they get to some portal like way later, and she comes out of that by escaping somehow. And I guess they had just been fighting for all eternity stuck.
Yeah, so weird. All right, so check this out, Charlie. So I'm going to just read you the user ratings of all this season, okay?
All right.
Episode 1, 8.4. Episode 2.
Wait, of what? Episode?
This season. Episode
this
1.
This season.
Yeah, let me just to back it up, let me give you a couple of ratings from the end of season 6, which was quite good.
If you remember. Very good. Yeah.
Yoda going to hear, learning about the, the living force and all that. So those last three episodes, that Yoda arc, 8.8, 8.7, and then 9.1 for the final one where he meets Darth Bane.
Yep.
The ghost of Darth Bane, voiced by Mark Hamill.
Right.
By the way. And then, so season 7, all right, so 9.1 was the highest rated of that season.
Yep.
Season 7, episode 1, Bad Batch, 8.4.
Episode 2. I liked it a little bit better than 8. All right, that's fair.
I liked it better than that. Distant Echo, episode 2, 8.3. On the Wings of Kira Dax, which is the end, that was the third of four of the Bad Batch. That one only got a 7.8.
You know, I can kind of agree with it in only that they were great episodes, but knowing that it's the last season, and I want to see where Anakin and Obi-Wan are and what's going on with Ahsoka, like, in a little bit closer to the main plot and working towards some end, I could see being disappointed by, like, all right, here's the ragtag bunch of guys that clearly, like, their arc is going to end with whatever happens in here. There's There's no beyond for them.
Yes,
so
yes.
I could see getting impatient with that. That makes sense to me.
As
even for great episodes, if they were like the equivalent of that episode in like season 4 or 5, you would have loved it. It would have been great. But at some point you're like, yeah, is there going to be anything closer to the main plot? Where the fuck is Ahsoka right now?
Yeah, exactly. So, we got Anakin. So in the next episode, which was Unfinished Business, which was the last of the 4 about the Bad Batch. So they've gone 4-4-4 with arcs in this season. Bad Batch, 4 episodes. Ladies in Space Bikes, 4 episodes. And then this is 4 episodes. But the last episode of the Bad Batch, which is episode 4, Unfinished Business, that's the one where Anakin fucking cuts that guy's, like, tentacles off.
Oh, yeah.
And then he just lets him live for a while.
Yeah.
He decapitates him, right?
I think he stabs him through the heart.
Yeah, but he just lets him die. just lets him writhe around on the floor.
Yeah. You know, yeah. There's no mercy killing in that. He does makes him suffer a little bit.
He doesn't even do him the favor of decapitating him.
I had to be choose a way to die to Anakin Skywalker, I want him to cut off my head. Do me that.
Oh yeah, please don't make me just writhe around while you walk. That's so fucked up.
Right. So, all right, so I'm sorry. So then what were those
ratings? So that one was rated 8.6. Yeah. So that one, so far, the highest rated of this current season. We had 8.4, 8.3, 7.8, and then an 8.6. Yep. So of those first 4 episodes, that was the highest rated one.
Makes sense.
Gone. Then we get to Gone with a Trace.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a 6.6.
Yep. That's fair. You were pissed about it yourself.
I'll be honest. When I saw that episode, because I watched it before you, I was almost like worried about what you were going to say about that show, because I thought it was so bad. I was like, I don't even want to tell Charlie. Like, I'm going to try and lower his expectations so incredibly low that maybe
you really did. And you know what? That might have helped.
That's what I was trying to do.
You were incredulous. You're so like beside yourself, pissed off, like it was a personal insult to you as a human being.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know what the fuck that was on Clone Wars, dude, but dude, just, you might want to, I think I even told you, like, you might want to just skip
it. Just don't watch it. Yeah. You told me not to watch it.
I did. I think I told you not to watch the next one, too, which was called Deal or No Deal, and that one got a 6.3. That's the one that dumped the spice.
Yep. That one, that was where I'm like, all right, maybe Bill is right. This is starting to piss me off. It's just dumb people making dumb decisions, and then it leads into bad consequences. And you're like, I don't feel sorry for either one of them. And why is Ahsoka getting caught up in stupid people doing stupid shit?
Right. Right. And then the next one, Dangerous Debt. This is the one where they start off in prison and end up back in the sea.
Yeah, that was bad. That was bad too.
That was the one. Okay, so that one you watched before me, and I was so like just not excited to watch it that I remember texting you and I was like, is it more of the space bike stuff? And you were like, yeah. And I was like, did they wrap it up at least? And you texted me, no. I'm like, okay, at least is it gonna be, is it like, did they tie the knot on that plot?
You know, we started talking about it at that
point.
We're
gonna be back again.
Bill, you remember the conversation led to, you know, looking back, like I didn't watch Clone Wars in real time. I think maybe at the start of the first season I did and I lost the thread and then I binged it. And I'm like, you know, maybe these shows are just better binged. And like, you got to suffer through a couple of these. Like every season had these weird side episodes. And in the grand scheme of things, if you're ripping off 5 episodes at a time, it's not that big of a deal. But when you have to wait a week, you're fucking excited as shit.
Yeah,
and then you get that, it hurts.
It does.
You said, I don't think I'm going to watch another episode until it's all over, and then I can just watch the rest of them.
I did, and I wasn't even like being dramatic. I was really thinking, well, maybe I'll just let them pile up.
Yeah,
or at least until they get to the next arc.
I know.
And then, I'll just breeze through the sisters and the spice dumping and the prison and being back in prison. But but you're right, because dude, there were sections of the original, or not original, but like of previous seasons where they would have like 3 episodes about the Gungans.
Right.
I remember there was like 3 episodes, I think, about the Mon Calamari, the Admiral Akbar's like floating around in water battles.
You kept referring to Ugnaughts in a suitcase.
Ugnaughts in a suitcase, because in Rebels, I binged the first three seasons. You know, like, I didn't want to watch it, and Bob Meary, our friend, kept saying, no, dude, it's good. You like Clone Wars? I'm like, yeah, I love the Clone Wars. He's like, just watch it. I'm like, it looks dumb. There's like a kid. It's like, you'll like that kid. So I watched the first three seasons, and again, there were stupid episodes, and mixed in with great episodes, like the Ahsoka Darth Vader arc. They got James Earl Jones to do Darth Vader, and they just killed it.
There was some great, it picked up steam. It did start kind of shitty.
Yeah.
But by the end, it's a great, great show.
It is. It is. But when I got to, but there were meaningless episodes, like an episode about the droid who like takes inventory. Like, that's a whole episode. Yeah.
Who happens to be the strongest droid on the planet. And if they just built like 500 inventory droids and turn them loose on the galaxy, like, any war that they needed to fight would have been finished.
Right.
Why did they make more of these? What the fuck?
You guys wasting your time on clones and you just be building inventory droids?
Yeah.
So they had like a whole episode about that. But again, I'm binging it. So it's just like, all right, whatever, dude. Hondo, okay, fine.
I kind of grew to like Hondo.
I kind of like Hondo. Actually, one of my sons and I's favorite, we were watching an episode where Hondo comes in and he goes, this is how he introduces himself. He goes, friends, Hondo. That's how he introduces himself. Can you imagine? Friends, Charlie. Just walking into a room doing that.
I'm going to try that out. I'll let you know how it goes.
Please do.
But I'm allowed to be around people.
So, but those I'm binging, and it's like, all right, whatever. Then I get to season four, which I'm watching in real time. And there is an episode where Hondo is sneaking an Ugnaught around in a fucking suitcase for a half an hour. And that's all it's about.
Yeah.
It's just about, can he get this Ugnaught? Like, he has this Ugnaught friend, and can he get him to his other Ugnaught friends who are working on a ship?
Yeah.
And by doing so, he has to sneak him around in a suitcase. So I always call that pig in a suitcase, which is like that's like my term for the wasted episode, right? But you can, if you're binging, you can handle a few pig in a suitcase episodes because you know you're going to get through it. And so these girls with their spice thing, it's just, oh my God, man. But yeah, if I binged it, probably no big deal. So Dangerous Debt, the prison one, that's third of their arc. That got a 6.0. That's just
terrible. What was the next one?
The next one, Together Again, got a 7.2. Probably. Okay.
Because people could see it was ending. Yes, it was over.
Because the last thing that happens in that episode
Thank God.
No, I was going to give that a 5.7, but they left. 7.2. Old friends not forgotten?
9.8?
Yeah. The Phantom Apprentice?
Well, that's too high. Because then you don't have any room to go higher.
Well, no, they did go higher because they went to 9.9 on the Phantom Apprentice, and the last episode, Shattered, is a perfect 10. As of right now.
I don't disagree at all.
I mean, neither. No, but they went, dude, they went from 6.3, 6.0, 7.2 to 9.8 to 9.9 to...
It's God, like, I wonder if they did those episodes on purpose just to, like, give that slingshot effect. Because, like, I don't disagree. It's... They started 9.8, so there was no... Like, all right, what happens if the last one's even better? And then, like, you've already given one a 10. What happens if it's better? You can never give anything a 10, bro.
Oh, you know what?
Two 10s in a row?
No, it's a 9.9.
So what, 9.8, 9.9, 9.9?
Yep.
That's makes sense. And then I'm hoping the last one is the perfect 10. Stick the fucking landing and just drop the mic.
Do you want to hear what the name of the 10th one is, the 12th one is, and the one sentence description?
Yep, I do.
It is called Victory in Death.
Victory in Death or in?
Victory and Death.
Okay.
And it says, Ahsoka and Rex must use their wit and skills to survive the turbulent end of the Clone Wars.
Okay. I can't fucking wait.
I mean, that could mean a lot of things because
I'm going to do this last one up, like, you know, get watch it in the right setting, you know, get the popcorn.
Yeah.
Do the whole, you know, thing. Clear the house out. Get the wife and kids to go run an errand or something. Right. I don't want any distractions.
I'll just go sit in the car because that's all you can do these days.
Right. Just go drive around the block for half an hour. Come on. Right. This is important to me.
I don't really like that sentence description. Ahsoka and Rex must use their wit and skills to survive the turbulent end of the Clone Wars. I feel like that's a little bit of a letdown. However.
Well, what else could it be, dude? It's that for everybody, right? You could say that about literally any character.
And we know Rex lives because he's in Rebels.
Right.
But these sentences don't necessarily tell you much because for The Phantom Apprentice, it says, Ahsoka leads Republic clones to confront Maul's forces on Mandalore. Maul senses the impending chaos and makes a calculated play to ensure his own survival. That sounds great. But
I was thinking like
that's this episode that we just watched, and it's a hell of a lot better than that those two sentences.
We know by Star Wars, like none of them are the clones anymore. And maybe it is to start the process of like them rescuing clones and pulling the psycho chips out of their heads. So maybe that's like their mission. That's where I figure it's going to end. Is her and Rex have something to rescue as many clones as they can.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
They figured out how to do it. They know where it is. She discovered all the information. It's too late. Like, right. I wish that there was some like last moment between Anakin and Ahsoka where I don't know. The moment was what it was, but I kind of do wish it was a bigger moment.
We
of
don't
her seeing that he's going and her trying to talk him off the cliff. But
we don't necessarily know
that she doesn't come across Darth Vader. Yeah.
Or even him because, okay, well, first of all, I should go back and say, is Disney really going to tell you what the details of this episode on IMDb? Obviously not.
Well, no, of course not.
So it's not going to say like
the final showdown. Yeah.
Ahsoka comes to the fucking lava planet and watches the end of the duel and cry. You know, it's not going to say that. So, but if you think about where we are in the story of Revenge of the Sith at this point, at the Order 66 has happened. Order 66 did not go directly into the fight between Anakin and Obi-Wan. There was a little bit of
There's a lot. Yeah,
there's a gap there.
Yeah. Right?
Because doesn't Anakin comes? Yeah, because Anakin comes back to the planet and he tells Padme. Like,
she's going
to
see Obi-Wan one last time for sure.
For sure.
They didn't do the goodbye moment, like the classic, you know, Star Wars goodbye moment. So I think that they'll see each other.
And also Obi-Wan puts in that signal to tell all the Jedi to not to go back to Coruscant.
Yeah.
So maybe that, maybe she hears that, maybe a clone hears. There's a lot of things that could happen connected to that movie that could lead her to some moment with Anakin. Maybe it's not she goes and talks to him right before Padme shows up or something, but like there could be some ships passing in the night type of thing.
Yeah.
You know.
They're going to go out with a bang. They're not going to just go out with it just being her and Rex figuring out some side mission thing. I think it'll end with something like that, but there's definitely going to be some ties to the bigger plot.
He puts her in a suitcase.
Yeah, and just smuggles her out.
Well, half an hour of him smuggling her around the galaxy.
Yeah.
In a suitcase. Yeah, no, it's going to be, I think it's going to be epic. So it was a 9.9. Yeah, so 9.9 for the last two. Hoping for the perfect 10. But I guess it had been a perfect 10 because the
considering
first
these are half hour cartoons, it's mind blowingly good.
You can't call them that even.
I know.
What would you call it though?
Like, I don't know.
I mean, it is technically a cartoon, but it's just, it goes so far beyond that. You know what I mean? I
yeah.
It's art. Don't you think?
It's wonderful. It's great.
I mean, as far as art can go,
I think like these last four episodes, once they're done, I will be able to just use that as a, you know, like a single Star Wars entity and rank it against, like, you know, the other movies. And just take this as like, treat it as though it was one movie and put it up against, like, you know, the rest of the movies.
Well, the fact that you're willing to do that speaks volumes. That it's that good that you're willing to put it into the, you're willing to put it into the list, that you feel compelled to put it.
Do you like it better than Attack of the Clones?
Yes.
I know. See? Better than Solo?
Yep.
Yep. So oh, there you go.
Wait, yeah.
And as I like Solo. Solo gets, I don't like the way Solo's gotten beat up. It's good. But no,
I agree. Solo's a much better movie than it gets.
The moments of Ahsoka just, whatever. I know she was always great, but you really realize in these episodes how truly badass she is. And she said, like, you're lucky my master didn't come because, like, you know, he's even better.
Yeah.
So you get like a sense of not only is Anakin like far superior to any Jedi, but his Padawan probably is too.
Yeah.
Like just the level that they're at. And
right.
God, if like the council didn't fuck up with her and she was by his side the whole time, there's no way he goes dark side. There's no way.
No, I think that's a
major, major like fuck up by them in a series of many, but like not taking Ahsoka's side and, you know, forcing him to like basically save her and her leaving the order. That really is the true beginning of the end for Anakin, I think.
Yeah.
He and balances Obi-Wan her says, out.
Obi-Wan says, I mean, she balances if you talk out. To her, you talk to her. I mean, you talk to him, you know,
right.
Please talk to him. And because he knows also that she agrees with Anakin. Right. And so essentially agrees with him, who kind of basically agrees with Anakin, but he's kind of stuck on the fence of, well, I still had to do the council.
She agrees, but like he knows that she's not going to ever go full dark side. And clearly he's concerned that Anakin is.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, like, you put it into the some of these plot points into the bigger story, and like, that is absolutely the beginning of the end. Once she's gone, that there's some kind of calming effect she has on him, or something. You could tell by the way he looks at her, and he's disappointed when she's mad at him and stuff. If she's with him and at his side that whole time, there's no way he turns.
Well, I think she gets him to an extent even more than Padme, in a way that, because she understands the like what it takes to be a Jedi. Like Padme has an understanding of what he is and what a Jedi is and what that means. But Ahsoka knows, like, she knows what being a Jedi is.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
right.
To speak to him in that way about the council asking him this and the procedure of the Jedi as being someone who is also not only his Padawan, but someone who got fucked over by the council too.
Right.
She could really be the one to like, hey dude, I know, you know, what this is like. I'm with you on this.
I don't remember what was, kind of got to go back and watch everything again. Was the Emperor pulling the strings behind the setup of Ahsoka? Or did it just so happen that that just was a lucky thing?
I don't entirely remember, but my immediate memory is that it was not initially him, but that he seized upon the chance to become.
That might be right. I'm gonna have to go back. Shit, it wasn't even that long ago that like I got caught up. But all right. Anyways.
All right. Well, Charlie, I cannot wait. We've seen two 9.9 episodes, or a 9.8 and a 9.9 tonight, and then we'll be watching a 9.9, and then
I think the next one is, if this is a 9.9, this has to be a nine. The next one has to be a 9.9 and a half or something. Right. It is a step up, and there's like, oh, there's full blown oh shit moments, and like, oh my god, and like, I can't believe they're pulling this off, and the way it ties to the main story, it's so fucking good.
Well, I just, that alone, almost to me, just that, when the fact that they can tie in, and this isn't really spoiling anything if you haven't seen the latest episode, episode 11, they actually have a scene for Revenge of the Sith that they play out, an actual scene from the movie, word for word. And then when the scene cuts in the movie, in the episode, Ahsoka walks in.
Yeah.
Like, that's blew my mind.
Yeah.
That they could do that. And that they could weave it in so well to where you're not like, oh, come on, dude. Stop writing its coattails.
Right.
You know, they're like, no, this makes sense that this would all be going on too. It's awesome.
So good.
I love it. You want to do the honors, Charlie?
No. I'll find the moment.
Okay.
I had it that last time and I dropped it. I
didn't, yeah, but I, we ended
up shooting for the prize, so.
We finished
off. I'll earn it. World I want world. To earn it.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah. Well, in honor of Ahsoka, cue the hot chick.
Pop Talk and Aliens, the William Clear Podcast.